podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogo. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
Preview Show.
Europa Conference League quarterfinal, of course. Villa holding a 2-1 advantage from the first leg last week. I'm your host, Dan Bardell, joined by Jacob Tanswell and the main man today, Tebow's on my lap, ready to be on the podcast, although I'm not sure that he's going to offer any pearls of wisdom whatsoever, but he's with me nonetheless for those watching on video. This show is sponsored by Luke Roper. If you want to get 20% off everything that Luke have to offer, including the new Chris Wokes range, then you use the code TVV20 and you'll get your 20% off. So yeah, if you do that, that really helps us as a channel, supports the channel. So if you're watching this and you want some new gear, or listening to it and you want some new gear, then yeah, use our code, you'll get 20% off. Jacob, a bit of passport drama for you this morning. You're off to France, but have you had a problem with your passport?
The passport drama is just the fact that I'm in Southampton and my passport is in Birmingham, so I need to go back to Birmingham to get my passport. But that's it, really. A lot of driving today. But no, I'm looking forward to getting the Eurostar tomorrow morning, nice and early. I don't think I've been on Eurostar since school trip, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get on, but hopefully I'll get there in one piece.
You say you've not been on since a school trip, and in my head that would feel like a long time ago, but for you it's probably not actually that long ago, is it, a school trip, because you're considerably younger than me.
It's about 9 years.
Not
too bad.
Yeah, my school, we're talking 20-odd years for the last time that I set foot in school. Right then, so passport drama aside, you well?
I'm all good, thank you. Yeah, obviously, since we last spoke, the Arsenal game happened. Whoa, and I feel a bit of a fraud offering any insight into this game, because I think we were both, not understandably, quite downtrodden, weren't we, before the game? And everything we said basically went up in smoke, but yeah, I'm still on a bit of a bounce after that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't think I've been able to wipe the smile off my face all week. Probably one of the performances of the season, definitely one of the performances of the Unai Emery era, and there's been a fair few in his defence. Right, we won't look back on the Arsenal game, because Greg and I did that on Monday. If you haven't watched that show yet, 1874, the podcast, you can go back and watch that and listen to that as well, and listen to mine and Greg's thoughts. Ahead of Lille then, I've been guilty of being a bit down on the Conference League, because I just felt like it was a kind of another hurdle that was in our way of getting top four. But I suppose now, once you've got to this point, and the fact that they've beat Arsenal off the back of a Europa Conference game, Greg came out with a, I don't know whether you heard it, with a great stat. I think Villa have only lost 1 in 10. Yeah, on a Sunday after they've played on a Thursday in the Europa Conference League, which is some record, given, you know, people say it is a massive problem. And I do think, you know, ahead of that Spurs game, it was a problem, and I think they didn't prepare sufficiently for that Spurs game, tried something new, it didn't really work, and they got pumped 4-0. Mm-hmm. This is different, I suppose, in that, you know, we've got a game on Sunday against Bournemouth at home, a big game. Villa play at home twice before they next play Spurs. Getting 6 points would be absolutely huge. It's the travel factor of this time round, isn't it? You know, they're playing on a Thursday, but they've got that travel factor to kind of factor in as well.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I think that the boringness of Champions League or European competitions is in everything, really. You always look at the group stages, the early rounds, as a bit of a slog. But when you get into this stage where you can actually see the finish line, you're playing teams that are good, Lille, you know, possibly, you know, the teams in the semi-final and final, you think, you know what, this is actually quite exciting now. You've got through basically all the boring parts. And yeah, like you rightly say, Villa's response is usually quite good after a Thursday night. I'm not sure whether it's because of the bounce, or they just like to have games in quick succession, or the fact that it's a testament to Emery's planning that his coaching staff or his analysis team are split in two, and always one section, he's always planning for the game ahead. So it allows him that quicker turnaround. But I think for Villa, it's going to be a game where it's going to be emotionally draining regardless of the result. If they get through, they're going to have the high. It's going to be probably difficult to get through. It's going to be quite exhaustive. They're going to have to dig deep at times. And if they lose, then obviously they've got to pick themselves up. So it's going to be a real challenge Sunday regardless.
Yeah, I mean, worth saying, Tebo was falling asleep a little bit when we were talking there. I mean, people always just assume that everyone knows about my dog anyway, but he is blind, in case anyone's wondering about his eyes, but he's not deaf, so the fact that he's, you know, falling asleep when we're doing our show here is not a great advert for what Jacob and I are talking about.
I have that effect, Dan. I have that effect.
Yeah, that's what we do. I've been making a living off that for years, sending people to sleep. Would you say that, you know, Lille, I think Lille were the better side in the first leg, although Villa executed their set pieces well and ended up winning the game 2-1. Still feel that goal, it's not an away goal because away goals don't count, but them scoring does feel critical. I still think, even though we've just beat Arsenal, and it's easy for me to say after we've just beat Arsenal, I think this will be a much harder game because you don't really know what to expect. Lille are the kind of team that have been in and around Europe a lot more than Villa have in the last 10 to 15 years. They know how to manage ties. Yeah, they'll be looking at the first leg probably as a good result, I would say, because they'll fancy their chances of coming back to their place and beating Villa. They've also only lost one in 38 at home, which is an incredible record. You know, we were talking about Villa's record earlier on in the season. You know, that's far and away from what Villa were doing, and what Villa were doing was incredible. So this is a really, really hard game. Easily the hardest game Villa will have had in the Conference League so far.
Yeah, good job there isn't away goals. I do feel, and I think you get the feeling from speaking to both managers after the game last Thursday, is that Lille were the more comfortable. They were imposing their game plan more than Villa did. Villa were reduced to, you know, sitting deeper. They didn't have as much possession. As you say, as creative and as great these plays were going forward, they, you know, in open play, Lille were the better side. I think they were more fluent. I think they're a really good passing team. They weren't, you know, perturbed by the away crowd. They played out from the back really well. And I think that's what they're going to try and do, you know, at their place. As you say, their record's incredible. But also, they've not only got the experience within the players, you know, the fans as well. They're used to these type of atmospheres. It's going to be a difficult game. And as you've seen in Europe, you know, for a little while now, at Ajax, in Ajax away, Legia away, these big grounds with these big fan bases, Villa can, you know, can knock Villa off sync a little bit, and it kind of stop them from doing their game plan. So I don't think Villa can be really free flowing. I expect similar to the first leg, but what you've got in Villa at this time, they have got this clinical edge, and I think when they do have chances, I think they'll only have two or three chances in the game. But you're banking on at least one of them to go in, and I think it's be really important. And set plays defensively as well are going to be under the microscope as well, because, you know, for all the great intent, as I wrote after the last game, if you're vulnerable from set plays in this type of game, then Lille could eat you alive.
Yeah, I think as well, you know, it's important to realise that Villa, they must take some confidence from Sunday.
Yeah.
I've said on X and on the show with Greg, you know, that felt more like 2023 Aston Villa, who were just so, so good, having a game plan, executing it, going away from home, keeping a clean sheet, winning, being clinical. Because 2024 has been a little bit bitty, although Villa have still been picking up results, even in games where they haven't played well, they've still picked up results. They, you know, they've come back and drawn games, they've won games that maybe they weren't at their best. Surely some confidence must be taken from that win against Arsenal, because that's as big a win as you can get in the picture of the Premier League at the moment.
Oh, definitely. And also the man of the second half performance, in fact, they had control, but also they had the legs on Arsenal. You know, you think we can really believe in ourselves that we can last, you know, the duration of a game. We're not going to blow up. You know, Emery, he is the master of this in terms of sitting in, keeping to the same game plan, but waiting for his game plan to become effective at certain stages of the game. So he didn't really change much. You know, I know Carragher did that big thing on Monday Night Football.
Oh, but brilliant. That was, I love that.
It was great, but he didn't really change much. They still try to play it from the back in the first half, but Emery knows he's not going to try and throw the baby out of the bathwater. He just stuck in. He sat in, and he waited for his game plan to take shape. And I think that could be a similar way in Lille. I think we said in the preview to the Arsenal game, the longer the game goes on and the longer that Villa are in it, in terms of it being goalless or even a goal ahead, the better it is, because Lille will then have to become desperate. They'll have more space in transition, and that's where Villa will be more effective. And they'll probably, hopefully, use that template of that second half performance where they were much better than they were in the first, although they were good in the first. And they'll take that on and hopefully then kill the game off in the second half. So that performance on Sunday should have given them massive confidence.
Yeah, do you think he'll make changes? I guess he'll have to manage minutes to an extent with such a big game. Again, on Sunday, we picked probably our strongest 11 against against Lille in the first leg, I would say. I suppose Louise will be able to play this one, knowing that he can't play in the Bournemouth game. So you'd assume that he will come in and start, which is going to be harsh on someone. Do you think that will probably be the RB and Tielemans goes to 10?
Yeah, I think it would probably be a similar team that started against Lille. You know, you'd imagine that Leon Bailey will come in after his goal. Maybe that's for DRB as well.
Yeah.
You look at Morgan Rodgers and you think, this guy is playing fantastically well. It'll be very harsh if he came out of the team. But at the same time, you probably do need McGinn, Douglas Luiz and Tielemans in there. So it's just a case of how you configure that, really, and how you get them all into the team. Maybe, you know, I'd probably say Zaniolo will drop to the bench from the Arsenal game and Douglas Luiz will come in and then Tielemans will push further forward or to the right, number 10, Rodgers to the left 10, Bailey and Watkins up top. So I think that's what he went with against Lille, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we'll go back to that. I think that's his favourite lineup to get control.
Yeah, Cash is back as well, isn't he? I think he'll probably be on the bench. I wouldn't expect him to start, but good to have another body back in there in Matty Cash, especially in the defence.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like we're down to our only four or five defenders at the moment, because Longley's obviously been out as well.
Yeah, and exactly. You think you can bring Cash, similar to Moreno, Villa are winning. You can put Cash ahead of Konsa, a bit like what Emery did with Moreno ahead of Dean.
Worked well. That's the first time we've seen that as well, which is staggering.
I really liked it. Really good. I think I was speaking to John Town a few weeks ago saying, you know, Moreno is traditionally, essentially, an old-fashioned left winger. So I wouldn't mind seeing that if you wanted some width on that left-hand side, because Lucas Digne's not exactly a dribbler with the ball, is he? But then it's at the same time, if Villa are holding on for dear life towards the end, you can bring Cash on and you can lock down that right side with Konsa as well. So he can do, you know, he can work both ways. And I think Cash is, you know, when he's not there, you think you really realise and appreciate, you know, what a real out-and-out right-back can do for this Villa side.
Yeah, he'd had a good game just before his injury at some point. Yeah. I can't remember which one it was now, but he'd had a good game and then he ended up getting injured. I don't know if anyone's actually watching this because nothing's coming up on my chat, which I assume isn't true because Adam has flashed up a few comments. So Adam, if you could just flash up a few comments whilst we're speaking, we can get involved because I'm not actually seeing anything come through on the chat for some reason. I don't want to blame Bates Technology. I don't actually think this is Bates Technology's fault because I did load it up quite late, but nothing is coming up for me for some reason. So if anything is interesting in the chat, Adam, that floats your boat, please do put it up on the screen and I'll have a little read on it. If you want to tell me in my ear how many people are watching, how many people are in the chat at the moment, that would be brilliant. As I asked for that, he puts a pen in his mouth so that he can't talk. Always following instruction down to the letter. Adam Bates. What else shall we talk about, Jack?
All I'll say is, I think it's important to mention that Lille haven't had a game since the last one.
Oh, that's killer. That is Premier League have got to look at that. But because the Premier League and the way it is as a product, they just won't do that, will they? Because they won't want to have the biggest teams, which is usually the teams that have qualified for Europe. They won't want to have them not available to play a game on telly, but they've got to look at doing something maybe on a Monday, maybe a Sunday night, even just to give a bit of extra time. But then you're messing the fans around, so you've got there is no win really, is there?
But even still, you think to yourself, Lille had they played Friday, the Friday before the first leg, so they even got extra time then as well to prepare. I think obviously we've covered it a lot. The French authorities, the football bodies, always want to give. They want to support their teams in Europe, and I understand it's much more difficult in the Premier League because in France there's an 18 team league where this is obviously 20 and more games, etc. But you do look, and I know Villa did really well, but I think Villa would have preferred the Arsenal game to be on a Monday night. I think they didn't see any reason not to be, just to give it one more day rest. Really, I think that was the main reason behind that, but. Yeah, I think they're going to be really fresh and they've had a whole week to prepare. Look at that game from the first leg, you know, really meticulously and prepare for this one. So it's not ideal, but, you know, Emery's used to the busy schedule and he's used to navigating his team through them.
That is a factor, though. I think that's a huge factor and actually changes the shape of the game completely.
Yeah, it does. That's why I expect the Villa to be on the back foot for a long part of it, because they're going to have to conserve energy. And that's where what I say about Emery sitting in and sticking to his game plan, hoping it becomes effective at certain points in the game. I think that's going to be the real key factor in this. I think Lille are going to press high. They're going to play high. They're going to dominate possession. They're going to have all that time to play, all that time to prepare. But Villa, as I said, I think they'll have two or three chances, probably on transition. And I think you're looking at Watkins, you're looking at Bailey to really, really hammer home the advantage. I think if they get an early goal, Villa, then that will make life a lot easier, obviously.
Yeah, someone in the comments just said first goal is important. And we've also got people talking about the pesky coefficient as well. Although Villa, could find themselves in the driving seat for fourth after the next couple of games, it would still be very nice if, fifth was a bit of a fail-safe, but it's going to need something from Arsenal tonight, probably after last night's results.
Yeah, need Arsenal to go through. Could Liverpool do something, Dan? Do you reckon?
I wouldn't rule it out. But they're not just right at the moment themselves, are they?
They're not, but I just think, have they got one last performance in them, for Klopp? I really doubt Arsenal will go through tonight, which is going to dent the coefficient. It's just a shame, really, that these teams that you'd hope would be progressing, normally into deeper into European competitions, like Liverpool, were so tragically bad last week. So I think for Villa, I don't think they really are looking at the fifth place now. They're all their eyes are on fourth place now, and that's why this game, next 5 days really are so important, because Bournemouth, we're not going to talk about Bournemouth yet. I just think that could be the stickiest game of them all. Focus on Thursday first.
Yeah, Bournemouth obviously gave us a real tough game at their place earlier on in the season. Apologies for the background noise that if anyone is picking up, I'm having some work done on my house. And at the time I've come to do the podcast, has suddenly become the loudest part of the construction work. So yeah, apologies for that if it is coming through. Just a quick word on Lille. Anyone to watch out for? Anyone that impressed you in that first leg from them?
Well, I think they've got a really good midfield. I think they've got a control midfield. Bentaleb made a few good runs. I think they're...
Liked him at Spurs. Yeah. I thought he was a good player.
Was he like the Tim Sherwood era?
gave him the chance, him and Harry Kane.
Sure, he told. He's got that lovely left foot. He likes to whip passes. It's beautiful. I think the two centre-backs, obviously, Lenny Euro, is it? I think he's obviously highly rated. Real Madrid really like him. I think they can get him in the summer. But he got a little bit old man by Ollie Watkins in that first half at Villa Park. And, the centre-back that scored, Diakite, I think he's a really good talent. But the way you're looking at it is that Jonathan David, we spoke about him last week. He wasn't at his best, but I do feel like at home, I think he'll be much better. And he's that, his goal-scoring record's a joke at the moment, isn't it? So he's always the guy you've got to watch out for. But I think Lille's got a really good team. And Fonseca, you probably said that he could be coming over to the Premier League quite soon as well.
Yeah, surprised he's not been over already.
Yeah.
It's a bit De Zerbi, to be fair, wasn't really massively linked with the Premier League before he did come over with Brighton, but they feel similar types of managers to me. I might be wrong in that. That might just be a lazy assumption for me, but I've always kind of felt the same vibe from those two. Fonseca at one point nearly did end up at... Villa were definitely interested in him when just before they hired Dean Smith, but he didn't want to drop down. He didn't want to be in the Championship.
You're right. Yeah, I think, before Brighton hired De Zerbi, Bournemouth really liked him. He was on the radar of those type of calibre of clubs. So I was speaking to a French journalist last Thursday, actually, and I said, who would Fonseca really go to? And he's looking at that upwardly mobile, Bournemouth type, Fulham type of team at the moment. That, a bit like Villa with Emery, could, are low, but they could easily, or if they had a good season, get into those, Europa League places. So I think he's a really good manager, and he can speak, multiple languages as well. His English is actually better than his French. So I think that could come in handy as well.
I could see him at Leeds. I could see a scenario where they get promoted and Farker doesn't last and he ends up going there. That's a kind of appointment that I could see at Leeds. Right, let's call it a day, because this noise is quite frankly ridiculous. If you're hearing it and I'm hearing it, then I'm guessing everyone that's listening is hearing it as well. So it's not a brilliant listening or viewing experience. Jake Alberice says winners of this take the tournament. Probably. And I did think this was the hardest draw that Villa could have gotten. I said that before either game took place. I think that's probably a a reasonable shout. Although the semi-final could be a tough game as well. But good to be in the mix. Good to be in the discussion. Thanks to Jacob for joining me today. And thanks to Adam for producing. Thank you for the construction workers as well for doing their loudest piece of work just as I come on and do the show. If you have been watching or listening live, I appreciate it. I've not seen it, but thank you very much. Thank you to Tebow as well, who is now asleep, half on a cushion, half his head on the desk. Be back, what day is it? We're back on Friday to do a preview show and look back on the Lille game. Have a good day. See you later.